Episode 41, the Bad Seed Podcast.
Bad Seeds.
Bad Seeds. There's three.
Hey, man.
There y'all. There he is.
What's that mean? Today. I don't listen to y'all's podcast enough. Is that an inside joke?
No. Oh. Well, it is, but.
No, I mean, yeah, it is. The rat.
Oh, yeah.
The rat black.
We got
rat
Mike shit. The rat black with us.
Mike, rat shit, lizard.
And Mike, Elliot, and me here talking about restaurants.
Restaurants.
Again.
Again.
Yeah.
This one's a little different. You know?
Ooh, yeah.
I know everybody's so tired of hearing about anything COVID related.
Yeah.
But this isn't necessarily about COVID. It's about what it's done to a whole industry.
Mm-hmm.
The service industry as a whole, more specifically, just restaurants. Because sales are down 100%.
Sales are right. Not looking so hot right now. My numbers have stayed a flat zero for coming on eight weeks, right? Has it been 8 weeks yet? It will be. It will be. Well, by the end of it, it will be.
So the reason you're here is because of your role that you have. Explain what this is.
I'm the executive chef. I inherited that position just 2 weeks before the COVID-19 shutdown, which happened in, as we all know, North Carolina, March 17th, St. Patty's Day is when they closed the doors, because that's it's a huge bar day, huge holiday for any restaurants. So they did it at 5 o'clock just because of the spread, you have so many people contained. It was a smart move on their part, but unfortunately, since none of us knew, of course, I received a truck that day.
So
it was really unfortunate. That whole thing was really unfortunate.
Well, as a nation, I don't know about the nation itself, but and I was just looking in Mecklenburg County. There are about 28,798 small businesses in Mecklenburg County alone.
Yeah.
Very true.
So, I mean, just think, that happened with you.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's a fucking worldwide thing happening right now. That's pretty fucking gnarly. And, it's something people will share, but, do people really give a shit about, industry workers? Because, the restaurant industry itself makes up only not that much of the whole workforce in America, right. I mean, it's a small chunk, and people don't really give a shit, and nobody really talks about it. None of the small business esque grants or anything weren't specifically for restaurants.
Right.
They're for small businesses, yes.
Yeah.
But, there's a lot that goes in, and even the reopening of restaurants. We'll get into all this stuff here in a little bit. Let's start off with this. As a chef, and all three of us, that's why we're doing this episode, because that's what all three of us do. Just simply rate from 1 to 10, how shitty has this been for you as a, one, not being able to do what you've done for years, every day.
Right.
And it's just taken away from you one day, which is stupid.
Right.
But, it had to be done. It's a fast-paced environment that is literally just, you go from that to sitting on a couch every day.
Yeah.
Unless, you're at a restaurant and you're getting shit done, but your restaurant's not open. Elliot, 1 to 10, your rating overall of the quarantine.
Well, it changes week to week, but I would say overall it's been, I didn't get unemployment for 5 weeks. I didn't have a check for 5 weeks. That was hard. Luckily, I'm in a position where I could get some help from family. So I'm a lot luckier than other people in that same situation. But now that I'm getting paid, it hasn't been as terrible as I thought it would be. It was nice the first week because, like you say, it is so day to day in a restaurant. You kind of lay the track as you go, and it's a stressful job. And so it was kind of felt like a vacation for a week, and then it kind of settled in. And I was also, I had just gotten into my first serious restaurant and was learning every day. I was really mentally stimulated at work. There was always something to learn, and I enjoyed my job. So it was, it has been a complete, you know, 180. Yeah.
Even a fucking paid vacation, like when I would take a week's vacation, by day three, I'm like ready to get the fuck back. You know?
Yeah.
Michael, what about you?
That's a really loaded question because I didn't take a hit. My wife did. My wife's a hairdresser, so obviously she took that hit. And being how she how her salon it operates is she rents a booth, so technically she's self-employed, which that's a it's a nightmare trying to get through. I mean, unemployment doing setting your unemployment up when you have to prove that you're self-employed. I mean, that's a whole new ball game.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, it all got kind of fixed. I guess.
For us, I didn't take a hit because I, like I said, I just got the executive chef position, and there was a lot to be done at the restaurant. There was quite a bit of disorganization that needed to be taken care of, just in the sense of having recipes 100%. So we've taken up this time, we've taken advantage of it to work out all the small kinks that you don't see behind the scenes. A lot of it's really boring, sitting in front of every, you know, computer, looking at every recipe that you go through, making sure it's up to date. You know, we pulled in employees to make sure that when they make certain recipes, are these recipes completed? You know, is this what we do?
Right. I mean, but you know, your restaurant's planning or has every intention of reopening and everything.
Absolutely.
So I mean, that's good. But I mean, even you said you didn't take a hit. I mean, you still took a hit. Like, you're not doing what you did every day.
I mean, I didn't take a hit financially.
Yeah.
That's what when I think of like how hard it's been on everybody, it's been because of the finances. Now, the creativity aspect for me, I've actually, because of this, we ran a brunch on every Sunday. We did a buffet brunch. So, well, obviously now people aren't going to want to go to brunches. No. They're not going to want to go to buffets.
Well, they can't.
Exactly. Right. So now we've gotten to write an entire menu, which has been really cool. It's been very creative. We've gotten to do stuff that other places aren't going to be doing once we reopen, of course. But
right.
So the creativity has actually still been there for me. The downfall to it is not seeing all the people that I truly care about.
Right.
I care about every, you know, from the server to my dishwasher. I mean, they're all the life force of what I do for a living and how I've gotten to make a career. It's been really unfortunate not to really keep in contact with everybody. And luckily, since we've been doing a lot of extra work up there, some of them have gotten to come in and we've gotten to see some of them. But that kind of makes it a little bit harder at the end of the day when, you know, oh man, I might not see this person again for 3 weeks, you know, and not to mention, are these people going to come back? I think that's the scariest part for me. Are people going to get complacent? Are they going to decide that they don't want to come back to our restaurant? What's it going to be like when we do reopen? Are we going to have the staff?
Right.
That's been extremely stressful to think about.
Yeah, we'll definitely jump into that one in a little bit because, all right, so we have tiers of today. First, what we're talking about is it's going to be a little bit of what life was like in restaurants or, you know, some statistics of restaurants before everything happened, you know. So here's some things. In 2020, this year, the restaurant industry was projected sales for the industry was $899 billion.
Yeah.
Yeah. For the past fucking decades, like it's been an increase in percentage every year.
Right.
Without 2007 or 8, when that recession hit.
Right. The financial crisis.
Yeah. You know, that was a pew. But other than that, it's been, you know, just incline the whole time. There are 1 million plus restaurants in the United States. That's gnarly to me.
Yeah.
15.6 million people are restaurant industry employees, which, like we said, they're basically all out of work right now. Projected, there's supposed to be 1.6 million new restaurant jobs created by 2030. So, you know, I mean, it's before everything,
it was up. Yeah.
It was always up. Basically, starting a restaurant, if you know what you're doing, sounded like the best idea in the fucking world.
Right.
With everybody, what was your role before this happened? You worked in a kitchen, Elliot?
Yeah.
You were a line cook, daily line cook?
Yeah. I worked all stations depending on the day.
Right. But, you know, balls to the wall.
Yeah. And trying to get stuff done for service and... You know, we didn't book an insane amount of covers, but we were a busy restaurant. We would have buyouts every once in a while that would keep us busy. It was I was just getting used to the pace. I'd been in that position for about 5 months when this happened.
Right.
And it was starting to come together. But yeah, just just working the line.
And Michael, you said you're a chef at your spot.
Yep.
You
know? Just went from sous chef to head chef.
What a wild time to get a promotion.
Fucking A. I pretty much inherited a restaurant during a fucking pandemic 2 weeks before, man. It was nuts, too. I mean, you know, learning some of the stuff that I wasn't shown before, we brought in this consultant, and he's really become like a right-hand man, a true friend. This guy's really, really looked out for me, and he's shown me stuff that a lot of people don't take the time to show chefs, and it takes them years to learn. Like it's boring stuff, but a lot of it's accounting, a lot of it's breaking down everything to the pennies.
There's more to a restaurant than just fucking making a plate of food.
Yeah,
and in and out like a fucking like a corporation, like a fucking Chili's or something. There's more to it than turning tables and
restaurants like Chili's and these big corporations. They have people that's all they do is write recipes, and that is what they do 9 to 5. When you're a chef, I mean, it's not 9 to 5. You've got to worry about orders. You've got to worry about is your staff showing up yet? Are you ready for the dinner service?
Yeah.
On top of all of a sudden, you're also trying to write new menus.
Right.
You know, we're in Denver, North Carolina, and the fact of the matter is right now there's not a lot of young people that are interested in really working in a kitchen. Plenty of servers. We'll get servers,
right,
tenfold, but trying to get people in the kitchen. So we were short-staffed to begin with, so there was even less time to do this.
And why do you think that is? Because there's always been a bad rap for working in a kitchen.
Kitchen's hard work.
It's hard work, but it also, some of the stereotypes are true, obviously, sometimes.
Right.
Kitchens get wild. People in kitchens are wild.
People in kitchens are wild. They like to fight. They like to party. For somehow, and I swear to you guys, this is the first kitchen I've worked in where everybody is not drunk the night before. It's unbelievable, man.
Wow.
These guys are pretty serious. They really like what they do. They don't take it home with them. So they come in fresh every day. I really don't have to worry about, I would say, 95% of my staff if they're going to show up. They're all on point. If I had to say anything about that stereotype, it's very true.
It's
from your alcoholics to your drug addicts to people who just don't give a shit, and you are working your ass off in 100 degree heat for less than a construction worker makes,
right?
Yeah,
it is still very physically demanding.
Yeah, like a young people, like a millennial type, which technically I guess we are still millennials.
Yeah, we're millennial.
But it's a lot different with the younger. Like the, I mean, there is an age gap within, late 20s and then early 20s.
Yeah.
There's an age gap, obviously, but something happened.
Divide, yeah.
But don't get me wrong either. At a serious restaurant that does 300 covers a night, these young people who decide they're going to go be a server before, so they're not a cook.
Yeah.
These restaurants that do 300 a night, I mean, these servers are busting their asses. Yeah, it is right. Not, just because you're not having to stand in 100 degree heat, you're not having to walk miles on miles a day, making sure you don't spill shit. Putting on a smile when you've had a shit day, man. Yeah. I mean, these guys too bust their ass, and for some reason they would just rather go that route with it than get their hands dirty. And that's understandable. And let's be honest too. Servers pay as opposed to cooks. I mean, come
it's
on, man.
Right. It is better, but any slow day at a restaurant, a server will be like, well, you're getting paid hourly.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. But on those Friday nights when you got to work 20 times, 20 times harder than you normally would on those slow nights.
Your stability is there because you worked a 40-hour week.
Absolutely.
Right.
So it's nothing against servers or anything, because this is about just restaurants in general.
Yeah.
But, we're all kitchen people.
But there has always been that stereotype with people that work in a kitchen are a little bit more insane, and it is true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it does come with the job. Just the lifestyle.
That's on the resume, actually.
Right. Come with the job.
How many beers can you chug?
Right. I saw a tweet that was like, I interviewed at Waffle House, and one of the questions was, can you fight?
What'd they say?
I don't know. I assume yes.
All right. Has to be.
So we're moving on to the effect that COVID had on dining and restaurants in general. The National Restaurant Association estimates that 3 million industry workers have already lost their jobs. And, you know, this was a while back when this came out. So it's definitely went up since then. But they projected that restaurants nationwide will take a $225 billion sale hit through May. And even the $2 trillion federal stimulus package, most of the restaurants can't even touch that or will right. not get anything from that.
No.
Which is a complete bummer.
Yeah, we're going to see a lot of small businesses go under.
Yeah.
And it's going to be extremely sad.
It is.
There's a lot of mom and pop shops that don't deserve it, but it's gonna be really hard to swallow when your favorite Chinese food place closes.
Yeah,
and it's gonna happen.
Yeah,
with most of the states on lockdown, which I think all states were on lockdown at some point. Some opened up quicker than others.
yeah, certainly.
Sorry, yeah, man. They sure as fuck did.
No, we'll get there.
Yeah,
yeah, no. And the economy froze. The job losses continue to pile up. Up to 60% of all hotel and restaurant jobs are at risk. Basically, we're gearing up right now for America 2.0.
Right.
Everything changes.
I mean, not just, you know,
we could talk all day about everything. You right. could think about something, and that's changed.
I mean, we're talking about, so this episode, we're talking about restaurants, which is something, it's like the perfect example of a thing that has changed and will change because it's something you take for granted.
Yeah, it's something.
Like, that you never thought twice about.
Exactly.
You just go, it's literally what you did, Michael, for the past few years, the majority of the time we see each other is when we go out to eat.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Definitely.
And that's how we stay in touch and... You know, it's like
that looking out in the dining room and you see, you know, you go to a restaurant, you're supposed to be with people you like whoever you're with. It's supposed to be a good time. You're supposed to be laughing and it's not going to be like that.
No.
Everybody is going to be so goddamn cautious. And we'll get into some stories from Tennessee from restaurants that have opened, and it is complete chaos.
Oh, man.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, complete chaos. Well, let's get back to... So, up to 60% of hotel restaurant is at risk right now.
You know,
I mean, you can push as much as you want for opening back up, but realistically, out of that 60%, analysis predicts that up to 25% of that 60 across the country will not reopen.
Yeah.
Or... will fail at reopening.
Right.
That's fucking scary.
So I was talking to the guy that's come on to help me a lot. His name's Anthony. I was talking to Anthony about this and the stipulations that they're going to put on restaurants. Try not to jump ahead, but we know about how many people are going to be allowed in restaurants. You know, the capacity, 50% is what some places are saying.
Right.
There was a study done for years, and that study stated that a restaurant that doesn't the amount of restaurants that doesn't fill 80% of capacity, that does not utilize 80% of the capacity, 100% fail.
Yes,
that is you can't you cannot deny those numbers.
Yeah,
the problem is it's a double-edged sword.
Yeah,
you either stay closed, don't generate revenue, all of a sudden your money's depleting, and then you don't have money to open. Or you have to take this risk, and you have to generate some sort of revenue. That is very hard to swallow.
Yeah.
What do you and when it comes to service as well, we didn't do to-go food. We completely shut down because we can't do it right. The fact of the matter is we're serving high quality product. I rely on knowing how many reservations I have to be able to make X amount of food, and so on and so forth. When you have no idea and you're just going to go food, I mean, for a high-end restaurant, that is disastrous.
Yeah.
Right. And one of the things I'm really worried about is, so we do the 20%, you know, we have to be cautious about how much money we're spending. We have to be cautious about how much food that we're making and have in-house, but we're not thinking about the people who just want to take our food home.
Yeah.
And now we're going to hit the mark of, are we going to get a shitload of to-go orders or not? You know, I mean, it's totally up in the air right now.
I mean, a good idea for place, you know, like, you've seen like, what's the name of the goddamn boxes and shit you can get of just pre-prepped meals
in a like,
cardboard box, you know?
Like Blue Apron
and Blue Apron, things like that. That's a good fucking idea. If restaurants could do that locally...
Wow, what a great idea.
Pump into that, you know.
You could say, here, this is our...
Chefs could still be chefs could still write instructions for something and then, you know, teach somebody how to cook.
Right.
I mean, you know, obviously you want them to come to the restaurant, but this is different fucking times.
Right.
But if you did a thing like that, gave them the ingredients, they pay you,
right,
obviously, for the meal. But the thing is, at that point, you're paying for a recipe. You can get that stuff anywhere. This is just the worst time for restaurants in general. And going back to what you said about, like, it's a double-edged sword. A chef and restaurant owner in Portland, I'm not going to say the name because I'm going to butcher it, but he said, I don't think anyone is staying open. And this was when takeout and delivery was still a thing. I don't think anybody is staying open is really thinking they'll make money. Most of them are scared that if they close, they'll lose everything.
Right.
Which is fucking true.
It's absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if you close, those employees are gone.
Right.
If somebody that loves that restaurant here is closed, they're going to move on.
And,
like, you know, you're not having that clientele.
Which especially in big fucking cities like, yeah, Portland.
Then yeah. How do you get people to come and work in a kitchen if they haven't before now?
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to get people off the street to.
Yeah. Going into my next thing.
Right.
So we all know restaurant work. You know, there's very slim to none restaurants that offer health care. Well, these days it's pretty a lot better. But, you know, the first 12, 13 years of me being in a restaurant,
right,
that was never a thing. There was never an insurance thing.
No benefit package.
Now it's starting to be thought of.
Well, to make it more attractive as a career.
No, the exact opposite. No one cared before about cooks and them having health care coverage. You know, this was never brought up ever. I've never heard anybody talk about this. If you didn't work in a restaurant, you didn't care.
Right.
But now, when their lives are in the hands.
Oh, I see.
People are pushing for those working and handling foods to have health care coverage.
So that you actually go get checked out.
No, it saves their ass when they come to cook or come to eat.
Right. So, That was a big fear when this all started, that where everyone said, like...
But isn't it fucked that... And even with all this, like, people are fucking worshiping people that work in a fucking food line, you know? Which, right, you know, why wouldn't you anyways? If you have a job, just respect somebody's job. But people would...
Right.
Before this, would shun people without, you know, big corporation jobs.
Right.
And now, tables have turned.
Right.
Now...
They want us to be healthy so they can stay healthy.
Exactly.
Absolutely. I mean...
Yeah.
Come on, man. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
they don't care about you being healthy. They want
no,
them to
because
be
now that it affects them.
Exactly.
Even though it's always affected them. People have always come to work sick in restaurants.
Yeah.
It's always been a fucking thing because... A lot of people who work in restaurants need money.
Yeah.
Like anybody else, but especially like... It takes a lot for kitchen guys, especially or girls, to sit out of fucking work.
Well, I mean, I don't put up with that shit. If you're sick, you go home. Yeah,
those are people that, you know, actually are there to work.
Right.
If you're there for a job or for a paycheck, you know, you have something else to do, you'll find a reason.
Right.
And that goes with this. Restaurant Business quoted Rosslyn Stone, COO of a firm that provides crisis response for restaurants, who said, the prospect of a global pandemic has already put the spotlight on restaurants and the tendency for employees to come in sick or call out sick. You know, if somebody calls out sick the day before and shows up the next day, it's a little different now. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you have to go to the doctor and get
are we into the point where, like, we're not talking about the systems and procedures everybody's going to be taking yet?
No. Okay. Yeah, yeah, we'll get there. Because, yeah. We can talk about that now. I mean, this will change health inspections.
Oh, I can tell you. Okay, so.
Certainly.
Yeah, you know more than I do about that,
check
honestly.
This. So first of all, what we're going to be doing with every employee that comes into the restaurant now is I have a laser thermometer. You walk in, you wash your hands, I temp your forehead, I write down that temperature every day for every single employee that's coming in this restaurant now. My back of the house, the front of the house is going to delegate their front of the house.
Right.
But they still walk through my kitchen. So they will be basically at 4 o'clock, somebody standing at that door, one manager, and they will be temping people. And we're going to have to come up with a medium. You know, some people temp low. Like I run my temperature at about 96, right. 96 and a half. Lizard. Yeah, I always have.
I run it. I'm average out at about 99.
What's, so exactly. What's the what's the average rat temperature?
temperature?
69.420. blaze it. Flat like top of the hat.
Okay.
sorry. So you know, systems and procedures on that end. One thing, making sure that all of your employees are going to be wearing completely clean gear. Everybody's going to be wearing an apron. There's so many silverware roll-ups, these fine dining silverware roll-ups. We're now going to be putting our silverware roll-ups in a plastic bag. Somebody's going to roll them, put them in a plastic bag, and hand it to the table. They'll take it out themselves, and then they'll hand the trash there. I can't put knives on my plate for steaks anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to change plate setup so much that's going to be happening.
So with you saying every aspect of a restaurant and, you know, everything, like fucking city parks are changing over this. But a restaurant, it changes everything. A lot of people are going to walk away from being on unemployment. For one, they're going to think that this is unemployment with an extra $600 put onto their unemployment. You know what I'm saying? Also, not dogging it right now because it's getting me through everything. Right.
It's been a big help.
But, you know, after this, you're expected to go back to what you make. You know, it kind of puts, and especially restaurant industry, it kind of puts how much you make into perspective.
Yeah, you know, I am making, I'll say it, I'm making more money now
exactly
than I was working for. Well, I'll say this, if I work 50 hours to 55 hours a week,
yeah,
then I would make what I'm making now.
Right, but I,
which you know, I did, but
making this, it's a false hope. That's all it is. And it's really sucks. Fuck money.
It is going to put that idea into people's heads that,
oh, it already has.
This is what unemployment is, and what you know, what people don't realize is, you know, this is the COVID relief. You know, once the stay at home order is lifted, then if you decide to stay on unemployment, you're going to have to check in once a week.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to do everything else. You ain't going to get that $600.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now I don't have unemployment right now, but if I'm not mistaken, people are actually getting more right now than they normally do. So yeah, I mean, you're not even going to get that. Just saying $300 a week won't happen.
Right.
So honestly, they're not gonna have a choice but to take their jobs back or go find something else. But
whatever,
they're not gonna be able to stay on unemployment.
Yeah, whatever we're going through, it's a lot worse for some other people.
Right.
When we think about restaurants, I mean, there's also the stereotypical Mexican dudes that work in restaurants. You know, a lot of these people are legal to say, you know what I mean? Or in the process of getting citizenship. And if you're in the process, you're not getting unemployment. You're not getting a stimulus check. You're just shit out of work.
And a lot of those people lost not just one job, but two, maybe even three jobs in all this.
There was some people interviewed about this or asked some questions, and they're scared, obviously, of the sickness, but also if they get sick, think about you getting sick
right
now, going to the hospital because you're sick, and then you're outed, you're exposed,
right?
You have nowhere to go.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's like a double-edged sword for people. It really sucks.
It is. I will say I know a lot of the people around me are doing, but I have been reading stories and trying to keep it in perspective, you know.
Yeah. Oh,
because there's some real fucked up stuff going on right
now. This researching for this episode has really,
it's fucking scary.
Fucking is really putting it in perspective for sure. So let's put it on to struggling for a restaurant to stay afloat through all this. I mean, if it was your restaurant, how would you? I mean,
well. As far as you mean recovering from this, where like moving forward after?
I mean, staying, being able to pay the bills that you have to pay.
During the rent, during it.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's
because, you know, even if you're not paying during this, you're still going to have to pay it.
A lot of restaurants are selling product, unprepared product. Like if you wanted to buy flour from, you could buy flour directly from your local restaurant.
Right.
I mean, there are things you can do, but it's never going to be the same, especially for, and some restaurants aren't.
If you're selling flour, you're biding your time, man.
Right.
I mean, that's bad. That's
you're kind of scraping.
Yeah. You know. I mean, crackheads are making more money than you at that point. I mean,
yeah.
But I mean, some places are actually doing well with it because people don't want to go to grocery stores right now. So they'll go meet,
which is
the
wild,
people at the curbside.
Just download a fucking app. You can goddamn get groceries delivered to you.
Right.
You know what I mean? I do it. It's great. I found this story. This is a guy that owns a restaurant in Matthews. Tony Fragola Jr. has spent the last year investing about $3 million into a second location of his Matthews restaurant, which his second location is in Belmont. It's called Jekyll and Hyde Tap House.
Oh, yeah.
A staff of roughly 60 were trained. Grand opening was set for March 19th.
Oh.
But, you know, on the 17th, the governor ordered all bars and dining rooms closed. So he quoted, "You've been waiting this entire year for this to happen, and then 2 days before it all your dreams are crushed and taken away from you. We've been paying these bills for months and months with nothing coming in, just hoping for this. And Mother Nature is a cruel person sometimes." And because his workers had not yet received their first paychecks, many of them are not getting unemployment.
Right.
Shit.
Yeah. Through Thursday, 509,693 North Carolinians filed for unemployment since March 16th. Many of them newly employed have reported problems with the state's unemployment thing. I saw that 3% of restaurants around the United States closed immediately.
Yeah, like, and then
they just called it quits.
It's on track to be 11% now, or by the end of last month, it was going towards 11%.
Right, but I mean, they just, you know, March 17th or whatever, called it quits.
Right.
Well, I wonder if a lot of these restaurants that wanted to get the PPP that didn't get it. This is my speculation. I'm not an accountant. I've not read the thing in its entirety. I do know about how some of the restaurants get it. But one of the things is, you know, they gave them the choice to stay open, and they still gave them a choice to generate whatever little revenue they could.
Right.
And because they stayed open, they generated somewhat of a revenue.
Well, don't be pissed off if restaurants start selling fucking drugs.
Right.
Really. Or using a hot walk-in to grow weed in, you know? Like,
yeah.
Come on now. I found this article. It was, can restaurants survive at 25% capacity?
Well.
I
think the numbers speak there.
I will say one strange thing that through all this, talking about restaurants surviving, my pizza place that I worked at for 3.5 years, give or take, they set a record last Friday for sales.
Oh, wow.
So there are certain, like for us, the environments that we work in and fine dining, it's devastating. But for, like, I mean, honestly, it's worked out well for certain restaurants.
Oh, pizza shops, you know, sandwich joints. Yeah.
A little spot like that, you know, they probably, I mean, in a small city like this, you know, their rent or whatever they're paying, their lease probably isn't,
it's not
as
crazy
high as, you know.
They've also been around for 25 years.
Yeah.
You know,
they're a very established business. It's definitely a unicorn.
In the middle of a neighborhood. Yeah.
And they don't do delivery either. They're pickup only, and they're doing curbside. But
right,
I mean, can you imagine if they did deliver? You know, and that's where the entire industry is going to shift.
Yeah,
you're going to design plates that can be boxed up and taken to the house.
You're going to design buildings are now going to be designed.
It's going to look like a Marco's Pizza.
It's going to look like a fucking dining room, like a Starbucks, and have a fucking drive-through window.
Yeah, you can go get a filet mignon through the drive-through.
Yeah, talking about fine dining, at least that's the joints that are going to be really strange to go into and very surreal when you see your waiter in a nice pressed shirt and a nice pressed apron, all clean, ready to go, and then you look down and you see them wearing gloves. Or in some instances, even wearing a face mask. I mean, that to me, if I go to a restaurant and I see that, like, it's kind of horrifying.
Already,
you know?
Yeah. And think about already the horror stories you hear from servers about how shitty and mean their tables are.
Right.
Right. And you can't smile at your table anymore.
Correct.
Yeah. As a server, that's a huge deal, you know?
That's where I'm at right now. Quoting this dude, There's so many things about touch and emotion in restaurants, you know, as corny as that sounds, but you know, when, yeah, as a, like, it's serving,
a, it's a tactical experience, yeah, or a tactile experience.
Exactly. Basically, the only way, what he's saying through his article is the only way that anybody is going to survive this is thinking outside of the box, you know? And he goes on to say that, you know, maybe cities should allow restaurants, maybe some streets be shut down so people can, so restaurants can kind of move their inside outside and kind of rope off some road. You know, I mean, if that's the only way that things are going to through this, you know what I'm
saying?
Won't
happen. I mean, of course. You know, I mean, that's just, that's just fire codes. And I mean, you can't have tables set out like near a road, man. You just, right, you know what I mean?
Right. Like, I mean, these roads are shut off. That's what he's saying.
Right. And I just,
the road being, I mean, yeah, it's everything has to bend. Everything's bending through this.
Yeah. I was sorry. So my
fucking dead tags are being bent right now until August. So I found that out the other day.
That's dope.
So I'm good.
My buddy down in Charleston, she runs a coffee joint right now. She had an inspection via FaceTime.
Oh, man.
So the health inspector wanted to speak to her. She spoke with the health inspector. Now, this was just a preliminary. They are obviously going to be coming in, you know, by all means.
Like, right.
They're going to be. But to make sure that these guys don't have to get there and really be in the heart of it before, like, the big openings and stuff like that, they are doing, you know, they did a borderline
virtual walkthrough.
A virtual walkthrough. But on certain things. Now, granted, that health inspector is going to be back. That health inspector probably, yeah. If I just haven't spoken to her, that health inspector has been back. But the fact is that she doesn't have to be boss of the wall in certain aspects of it, in the sense of, hey, can you show me your thermometers and your coolers? Can I read your thermometers and make sure your stuff's right? You know, I know this might, you know, every aspect of a restaurant has changed. Every aspect of every industry has changed. And the precautions that people have to take. I mean, this is not something that we've ever had to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
So the best way that a lot of places are taking it is we're going to come back stronger. My fear is nobody's going to see how hard you worked for it. Nobody's going to, you know, because so many people are going to be scared to come into a restaurant. I know personally, I have gotten to go food, and every time I've gotten it, I've been very, it's always in the back of my head.
Yeah.
So especially to go in and sit down with people, even with the 6 feet rules that everybody's implementing, I don't know how long it's going to be for me personally, who is a chef, to really want to go back to a restaurant.
Yeah, which is a very common. Like, it's going to be so goddamn common. I mean, think about being 65. Like, you can basically cut out restaurants, honestly, after this. You know, you're old, right, an older age.
If you're at risk, any at risk people.
You know, I heard a couple things saying that there are elderly hours for restaurants. That's what they're trying to imply.
Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I found out a lot of elderly people, speaking to my mom, they don't give a shit. They don't. They're not the ones out wearing masks. You know, you've heard about the, you've heard about grocery stores, you know, having a senior citizens hour. My mom would rather go at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, even though there's a little bit more people, but the chances are those people are wearing masks. She goes and she's like, you wouldn't believe, right, like, senior citizens.
Yeah.
They're the ones that really need to wear these masks, and they just don't give a shit.
Oh, yeah. I mean, think about this, and this is coming from a chief North American economist at the conference board. With older people, the social distancing will be more extreme and longer. And statistically, they actually spend more than younger people on out-of-town vacations. And you know, this is more vacation spots and whatnot.
Right.
In full-service restaurants. So old people are the ones that want to drop or just there regularly. So say, let's take Myrtle Beach. Fuck, this might shut Myrtle Beach the fuck down.
Oh, man.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean?
Well, honestly, guys, I don't know if you guys have looked at, you know, any pictures of it or really, you know, been kept up with the news, but unfortunately, there's a lot of stupid fucking Americans out there.
Mm-hmm.
And believe it or not, as much as we don't want to think about it, those beaches are looking pretty full right now.
Oh. Yeah.
You know, I mean, people don't give a shit, man.
Right.
It scares the fuck out of me. I'm not even going
to lie. But I'm saying those people are going to the beach, and those people go to the beach once, you know?
Right.
Those people don't live at the beach.
Right.
The beach, the people that I know that live at the beach, there are your busy seasons, and then you have fucking two seasons of nothing.
Right, you got to save up for winter.
Right. Those places, I mean, those places at 20%, how are they going to survive this whatsoever? You know what I mean? If you're already at 50% half of the year and then that gets shut down,
yeah,
you know, like that's kind of crazy.
No, I do wonder if that's something that's very interesting, Scotty. I wonder if the numbers with certain these certain businesses that obviously don't generate revenue because they're vacation spots.
Yeah, because of location.
Right. I wonder if there's some sort of extra government aid for businesses that have this like boost in revenue. You know what I mean? Like
that would piss me off.
A seasonal business.
Yeah, that would piss me off than a small business busy all year, busting their ass, a mom and pop's place.
Yeah, buddy,
can't get it. You know what I mean?
But they're people too, and just because of where they live, they're damned. Like, you know, you got to have some sort of, you know, it's not their fault that that's where they live.
Right, but
you know?
You can also flip that and say exactly what you said about the mom and pop's place.
What do you mean?
Just because where they live and, you know, their business isn't.
I completely get that. It's unfortunate that everybody's not getting the stimulus package.
Yeah, and also that stimulus package was meant to just pump back into the economy.
Right. It wasn't
meant for you to feel good. It was meant for every business to do better. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, I don't know how that's going to fucking work out whatsoever.
Well, I think it was kind of like using the paddles on a guy who's been dead for 30 minutes. Like, you know what I mean? Like rubbing them together and fucking, like it's already happened. The damage happened the day that
Weekend at Bernie's.
That it shut down. Mm. Yeah, exactly. Weekend at Bernie's. Yeah. That's what they're doing right now with the economy. The damage has already happened.
Yeah.
And it's going to be felt for years anyways. Now, I'm not saying they shouldn't have done the stimulus package, but I'm saying that was like throwing a thimble of water on a fucking forest fire.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's not a solution to the problem. And
no, it was shut up for a month.
It was. Right. It was. You're absolutely right. It was like, I know y'all are pissed right now, but like.
Right.
Yeah. You know. I mean, there's been talks of a second round of it. At the end of May.
I ain't even got my first also, Donald.
Yeah.
Also, the worst way, the logic of it, too, is really funny to me because it's like, hey, I want you to stay inside, but here's $1,200. Yeah. Stay inside your house and don't spend it.
Stay inside, but your restrictions say that you can go jogging in parks. You can, like, stay inside. It should have been, like, Italy. There should have been Black Sabbath saying from fucking balconies. Like, did you see that video?
Yeah.
Dude, it's just like
Biscuit Gaston, you bet.
Yeah, it's just like, it looks like two apartment buildings and everybody's on the balcony and they're singing Black Sabbath because they're just like, hey, what are you doing? What do you fucking think? Listen. And he turns up Black Sabbath and then the entire place just starts singing. It's fucking,
yeah.
That's how it should have been. But honestly,
so
Italy still did pretty bad. You know, young people sneaking out and shit.
Well, yeah. young people sneaking out. But one of the things I found out about Italy and why their numbers were so bad, they had a lot of generations living with each other.
Like, oh, right, yeah.
You know, and
yeah,
and
culturally.
Which comes back to kids sneaking out.
Right, right, right. But I mean, even people that were
chaining people to beds.
What I mean is the initial boom before it happened and people like had that burst of getting sick was because before they caught it, they already live with these, you know, multiple families live together in big homes. And that's, you know, that was a oof, man. Like,
there's going to be a second wind. Like, there's going to be a second.
Yeah, the first wave of Spanish flu, I think, killed about 8 million people, and the second wave killed about 50 million. But, of course, now the problem is now we know a lot more than we did then.
Right.
And we could obviously have that not happen, but because people are so fucking stupid and impatient and petulant, it's going to happen, and it's going to be worse than the first wave. And so, I mean, everything we're talking about now, all these dates, like talking about this year, by this time next year, there's no telling what any of this might all be for naught. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, it is America 2.0.
Yeah.
Like, that's the best way to put it. Yeah. We're talking about reopening restaurants. So even meat farms. So the virus has spread to dozens of meat processing plants in the U.S., forcing some facilities to close, causing deaths among the meat processing workers, which is Smithfield Foods. A lot of them is closed, not because they went bankrupt, but because they legally had to. Yeah, the company had to close plants because of the virus, which it's going to make food harder to fucking get, you know.
The pork industry is definitely taking a huge hit.
Yeah, the pork industry is going to shit, but Tyson Chicken and how, you know, their plant kind of got shut down, and they had to, like, shut down production. Production got kind of slow. Slaughtering chickens for no reason, that's going to go bad anyways. You know what I mean?
Right. As soon as you kill a chicken, the timer starts.
Yeah.
And you have to have... Well, right now, the problem with farms and factory farms and stuff is the supply chain's broken.
Specifications are going to be a lot harder to find on your meat. And that's what I was actually on the phone with my rep today about was... So your average Black Angus cow weighs about 1,050 pounds. Mm-hmm. And now those cows are getting so big because they're not slaughtering them because they don't need to be slaughtered, obviously.
Yeah.
So now those cows are getting to be 1,300 pounds. So your specifications on how big your steaks are, and that's like the presentation when you get it at a restaurant, how thick your steak is.
Yeah.
These steaks are going to look, they're going to be the same size, but they're going to look different because of how big the cows have gotten. And the same with right. and the same with pork. You know, it's things like bone-in pork chops. This is just a good example. They're going to be a lot harder to process because you're going to have so they're going to have such a bigger pig, and some of that fat's going to go off, like, you know, to the side, to where you're going to have a lot of waste. For the first few months, it's going to be very difficult to get 10-ounce chicken breasts. You know, yeah. I mean, to a degree, I think. I don't know if it's going to be extremely difficult in the sense of actually getting the product as much as it will be how much more expensive this product's going to be.
Yeah.
You know, across the board, restaurants are also going to take a hit just because of, you know, you can't open up a restaurant that's been there for fucking 10 years that has had this stuff at a certain price point. Of course, it's always changed a little bit because of inflation. Don't get me wrong. But just because of right now, the industry being so expensive for product on certain items, perishable items especially, you know, these restaurants are going, their food cost is going to be a lot higher.
Yeah.
And that also is going to be very difficult for a small business to keep up when they don't have certain contracts with, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's another thing. It's going to have to be, everything's bent. Like, you're going to have to figure everything out. And that's what's, there's going to be so many gray-headed 35-year-olds after this. So China, they were the first to be hit hard by this, you know. They just reopened, or not just, they've been open for a while. So if we base the things that China has done, or base what how they do their restaurants, so this possible new normal for the U.S. is already underway, such as China. When you walk into a restaurant in China now, it's all government rules. There are a lot of restrictions, taking temperatures from all chefs, taking temperature from all customers as well. No table bigger than four, space 6 to 8 feet between tables. No money is touched. So people go on an app for the restaurant on their phone. That's the new, like, money is not in the restaurant in China anymore.
Right, which is smart.
The waiter just brings wine, water, and food. Basically, I mean,
right.
You know, the high-paid server, I mean, that could fuck them up.
I think that might be a thing of the past, because you're not going to get that 16-top.
You're not what? Yeah, you're not going to get that 16-top. You're not going to, but which, you know, give that a year. Let's say everything goes back to normal, which that'd be great, or at least a little bit more normal. Nobody's going to look at a server job in a year, or in the generation after us, and be like, yeah, that's cool.
Right.
Yeah, I'll deal with that during college.
Yeah, I'll deal with 4 tops.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, it's very limited, restricted, but it seems to be working. Business in China is back about 40 or 50%. That's what he estimated. But the strangest change is the sound. Nobody talks to anybody, and it's deathly quiet in every single dining room because everybody's fucking scared shitless of being there.
I will say one...
There's got to be louder music or something, like, when, because everybody is going to be... so fucking scared.
Yeah, I don't, like, honestly, I like food. I realized through this, this is obviously the longest time I've gone without sitting down in a restaurant and eating. I'm sure for a lot of people that's the case. Right. But one thing it's made me realize is I like being around people I like, and I like food. I don't necessarily like restaurants.
Well, yeah.
If anything, the restaurants is a hindrance where, like, I'm afraid we're saying, like, pussy lips too loud. And there's a family behind us in the other booth. And then I was thinking, like, what is the benefit as opposed to, hey, I picked up this food and we're going to sit around the dining room table and eat it.
Well, this goes to back to the statistics that I didn't read, that 63% of consumers would rather spend money on an experience other than purchase an item.
Yeah, man, it's all about the experience of a restaurant. You know, when we did go to a Web Custom Kitchen, the food's unbelievable. But right. The restaurant itself and the service that you get, there's something about going into a very nice restaurant.
Or an old remodeled building. Like, right. that, you know, good yeah. architecture. And, not every place is like
and
that.
Every, and I'm sorry, but food does not taste the same in a to-go box.
No.
You know, I mean, that's just fact of the matter is like, I mean, it comes out ready for you. That person cooked that to perfection for you when you go into these places right. that have a beautiful dining room, a beautiful bar. And are in like a just an example a historical building, you know.
Yeah.
Webb is a theater. You know, it was an old theater. Mm-hmm. So when they redeveloped it to be this restaurant, they kept that old theater theme. And I mean, it's just you go in there for the experience.
But man. Even that, you know, at 20%, that's their balcony. That's it.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know? And that's honestly, you know,
and honestly, that's probably the one that would open. Like they wouldn't open the bottom floor.
No, they definitely will. They'll space it 6 feet apart and.
I'll just make okay.
Yeah,
okay.
They'll space it 6 feet apart, and they'll probably be able to fit, you know, two tables.
So you'll be the one of two people that are up in the top.
Yeah, no, right. Seriously. I mean, there'll be two tables on each corner that I imagine you'll be able to sit in, and maybe there's kind of like a third little lip level.
Yeah,
and they maybe can fit somebody up there, but you know, just removing the tables to 6 feet apart. Is just that's gonna be where you take a hit. There's you know section 4-2 is gonna be gone. You know what I mean? Yeah. And stuff like that. Well, and restaurants are having to redesign their map layout.
Oh, that I mean, restaurants have to redesign
everything.
Yeah. You know, I mean, even styles of restaurants like buffets completely gone.
Yeah,
buffets are not gonna be a thing anymore.
Or
salad bars gone. Self service places is like Korean barbecue places.
Oh right,
gone.
Damn, I never
hibachi. Went down. Gone.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, hibachi will be gone after
damn,
this.
I've never been to a hibachi place or a Korean barbecue what? Place.
Shoguns, baby?
No, I never
oh,
went.
Man. Oh, we went to Shoguns when it was a fucking Greek place.
Oh yeah, we did.
How old was that place?
It was whatever.
Okay. It didn't last, did it?
I mean, it wasn't horrible.
Yeah.
I think it's closed now.
It was a...
no. Oh, damn, dude.
Damn. It's Greek and Italian.
You yeah,
pizza.
Okay. Oh, I must make the worst joke.
Yeah, that was like a
Catskill setup. Like it's Greek and Italian. Like, ooh,
they're talking about everybody's hardships. He's like, I bet that restaurant's not open right now, man. Can't get call out.
Yeah, Elliot, I appreciate that dad joke, but
you're very welcome.
Yeah, this changes dad jokes too.
It does. Now you have to stand 6 feet away and say them.
Jesus.
Did you hear me?
There haven't been a lot of jokes this episode, so no, I'm picking been. My moments.
By all means.
Yeah, I've been trying. This dude from the Northeastern University, quoting him, he said, "We would need to ensure the restaurant workers had adequate protection both for themselves and patrons, and the restaurants would be able to operate in such a way that they could still maintain physical distance between individuals in the restaurants. Us working in kitchens,
think about that.
I mean, yeah, your kitchen staff, if you go down 20%, your kitchen staff goes down. I'm sure.
Right, like, substantially.
It's kind of ridiculous not to.
On our line, if there was, you would presumably be 6 feet apart from the guy running the line with you, like on a slow day, if it was just two people.
Dude, it's about a 12-foot line.
Yeah. So even then, you're not 6 feet away from the people who have to be on the other side of the line.
Yeah,
doing what they do.
Yeah, you're expert.
In a kitchen, there's no way to socially distance in a kitchen.
Face masks, man. It's gonna. I'm telling you,
everybody will be in face masks,
and it's gonna be very hot and very miserable for a lot of people.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm probably not gonna keep a beard anymore, just because face masks are not comfortable right now.
I don't mind them, but I don't. Obviously, I don't go a whole hell of a lot of places, so I don't.
Also, really my face is a lot bigger than yours.
That's fair.
So normal face mask, like,
yeah. Right? Yeah,
don't fit me to begin with.
Yeah, that's another. I mean, our restaurants now. This is a good question. I obviously need to have a conversation with the people in charge. I'm glad our meeting is tomorrow. I'm actually going to jot this down to remind. But are we going to be?
You're acting like you're writing right now. You're not writing anything.
I don't have to.
He doesn't know how to.
Yeah. It's pictures, baby. No, I mean, are we going to be the ones that have to provide face masks for our employees?
That's
You don't have to bring your own gloves to the kitchen,
right?
So yeah. if you want me to wear a mask at work, you better be a goddamn box of them in the fucking back room.
Yeah, if you had to supply your own beard nets,
oh shit,
or if it's like a reusable thing, like it's part of your uniform, then. Yeah, I mean, I'll pay. You know, I bought my own chef's coats. I'll buy a reusable mask that's comfortable for me.
Seven for the week, and then wash them. And yeah. Adding on to what this guy said, and he's just saying the things that he thinks is going to be happening dining after COVID. Time limits on tables.
Yeah.
One-way traffic patterns, which I found an article after this that used that. Single-use menus, like your fucking menus. There's no big menus anymore. Like you throw the menus away every time.
Right. Or I saw a thing, you can get tablets that have a like antibacterial screen covering on them.
Right, but I mean that's...
They still gets cleaned.
We're actually going to be taking our menus out and having them laminated, and we're going to be sanitizing all of our menus.
Right.
You know, you're going to have somebody paid to make sure things are sanitized. We're even going to implement something where like every 30 minutes, a hostess and like two food runners go and they wipe down the entire bar, all the empty tables completely. I mean, we already do. The one thing about the restaurant industry, we're already clean. We've been practicing these guidelines for a long time, washing our fucking hands and, you know,
coughing into your elbow.
But there's a million restaurants in the United States. And obviously we've all seen horrid restaurants. Not everybody does that.
You're
but those are
right.
Also the ones that are probably closing. So
very true, man. You know. Yeah.
But let's say you do have all these new sanitation procedures. It wouldn't be out of the like. Honestly, the thought that went through my head is like a position of someone like a busboy that would fall into their purview,
possibly
of clearing tables and sanitizing tables. But also at the same time, it goes back to what we were talking about earlier. Do you want the guy who makes eights? You want to trust someone with the sanitization of the restaurant, but you want to pay them $8.25 an hour,
right?
Or less than $10 an hour. Are people's work going to be valued differently if you're going to have to trust someone to sanitize?
Exactly. The whole pattern. You know, if you go to a grocery store or something, there's one way aisles now, or supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, we're in the South.
You know, a guy and
the people just
don't give a fuck.
Look at them and not care.
Don't give a fuck.
A security guard got shot for telling somebody they couldn't come in the store if they didn't have a face mask on. He was shot and killed. I'm pretty sure he was killed.
Yeah.
That to me is going to be the biggest struggle of this. Like you were talking about in Chinese restaurants, temping the customers.
Yeah.
Do you know, I'll go ahead and speak for my dad. My dad would turn around and be like, "You're not taking my temperature to so I can eat it. I'm paying you to eat here."
Yeah.
Yep.
That brings me to my next article.
Oh, very nice.
Restaurants feel the refusal to follow COVID-19 safety rules. An Oklahoma town had to drop a mask requirement after restaurant employees were threatened. In the first 3 hours that the restaurant dining room were allowed last Friday to be reopened in Stillwater, Oklahoma, employees were threatened with physical abuse and showered with verbal abuse after informing patrons that they had to wear a face mask for entry. According to the mayor, in at least one instance, an irate customer pulled a gun out.
That's America.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
I mean,
it's the entitlement that's going to, you know.
That's Oklahoma. Yeah. Imagine how the South's going to be. Because we're just, I mean, as a whole, you know, once you get to a certain age, looking at certain age, they're ignorant.
Yeah, man.
And they are just looking past all this shit. So, I mean, it's probably going to be fucking, again, how much they get paid to deal with this.
Well, it's the reopened guys that were in Michigan that went up on the doorsteps of the Capitol with fucking assault rifles and And they were like screaming in cops' faces about, you know, reopen America so I can go yell at my wife at an Applebee's, man. Yeah. The one meme that I saw that was really fucking true was like, and just like that, blue lives did not fucking matter.
Yeah, they're screaming in the cops' faces.
Yeah, over not being able to go get a fucking haircut. And like, you know, one thing that Governor Cuomo said in New York was, you know, you want to work? Okay. Go get an essential job. We're giving you unemployment. We are giving you an extra, $600 for a lot of people?
Yeah.
Fucking go get an essential job. Amazon's obviously hiring. Target's obviously hiring. But it's selfishness, man. It's a lot of it's being selfish. And that whole argument, too.
Well, no, the South is the pride. Like,
right.
You want to be right.
The whole argument, too, about like, well, if you don't want to, you know, if you don't want to go out, then don't impede on my life, blah, blah, blah. You don't understand that, like, when they lift these restrictions for people with autoimmune disorders, when they lift these fucking stay-at-home orders and people are taken down to the unemployment that isn't shit, they don't have a choice, man.
Yeah.
Like, these people are going to be in the heart of it, and they are going to be in danger of themselves fucking dying. You can rebuild a fucking economy. You can rebuild a business, but you can't fucking rebuild a fucking human soul, man.
Yeah.
And nobody gives a fucking shit.
Nobody.
This is not brought America together.
They want their haircut.
People, I hear all the time fucking like, we really come together. Like, bullshit, man. Nah. The fucking Democrats have gotten with the Democrats, and the Republicans have gotten with the Republicans. But us as a whole, don't fucking, there's no middle ground, man.
No, Karens are going to be Karens with masks on.
Right.
But an Applebee's opened back up in Tennessee last Friday. And the servers were talking about how rude everybody was in the fucking restaurant. You know, like I said, like, you have your shitty tables already, and then you add this. So the Applebee's protocol now is that everything's brought out on a tray, and they have gloves and masks on. And they have to put the tray out, and you grab things from the tray. You don't touch their plates. They don't touch the table. I don't know how that works in their kitchen, but...
gloves. I mean, gloves. Yeah, it's gloves. One person that's put it on there.
But, I mean, the person with the tray has gloves on, too.
Right.
But...
They're touching more surfaces,
right.
I imagine.
Either way. I mean, but they're supposed to wash their hands after every interaction with a table. Take the gloves off. Go wash their hands. Imagine being a server and going, having, I don't know, at a restaurant, you have three tables now.
Right.
Yeah. But every time, they're like, hey, can I get something? Hold on, I got to go wash my hands. I'll be back.
Right, yeah.
And ignorant assholes aren't going to...
Yeah, I mean...
Aren't going to be sympathetic to those
with
procedures.
The tray, the girl... said that she didn't, the lady was like, I'm paying you, put it on my plate, put it on my table. Like, bitch,
like, she literally can't, like, she can't.
Yeah, no, like, this is protocol, I can't fucking do it. And the lady got pissed off, and imagine asking for your money back in times like this from a restaurant.
Right.
Oh,
well,
Jesus,
the thing that these people struggle with is change in general. They wish that we were still living in the 60s.
Right.
Well, if not older times than that, but any sort of progress, or they just go, they're petulant children. They go, no, that's not how we've done. That's not how I've always done it.
It's not my favorite way.
Yeah. That's the that old joke. Like, yeah, but it's not my favorite way, but it's
that's
like,
not my favorite.
it is. They're just acting like children. And honestly, even the short-sightedness of it is childish, like you were talking about, where they go, their argument is almost, and literally I've heard people say, it's my right to get sick if I want to get sick.
Right.
But they don't see, they live in such a small, I don't know, consciousness that they don't think
about.
It's a
bubble.
Yeah.
They live in a bubble of them.
Right.
That's it. But hopefully people in restaurants don't think like that. And like we said, with the shitty restaurants and the shitty employees that are glorified on TV and shit, like the restaurant impossible, and, you know, you see rats everywhere. But people that work in restaurants, it's not really to keep other people. It's to keep everybody. Like, it's to keep you safe, like keeping it fucking clean yourself.
They'll be, I think...
Like, you washing your hands is for you now. Like, you fucking dirty bitch.
I think now you're going to see, as far as kitchen culture goes, like, in your work environment, there's not going to be that dead weight guy who just shows up and does the bare minimum. Because, number one, staff's going to get cut across the board.
Well, that whole saying, you got time to lean, you got time to clean.
Yeah. That's going to be serious as fuck now.
Very serious. with that same Applebee's article I found, there was a new position in the restaurant now, and it is just someone to hold doors, so nobody touches the door.
Sure, sure. I can believe that.
And there's somebody that tempts guests at the door.
I'm telling you, there's going to be so many news stories.
You just
like
fucking saying,
wait. Like, people are going to get violent over somebody asking to take their temperature.
Imagine a Southern Texas roadhouse.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, imagine the people that get their temperature taken at 101, 102 degrees.
Oh, and they get turned away. They
turned the fucking away.
I didn't even think about that.
All of a sudden, that guy either wants to fucking fight or... Let's don't forget that people are disgusting human beings, and they fucking do something crazy, like spit on something, and all of a sudden the goddamn restaurant might have to shut down because somebody has a temperature and they just fucking spit.
But I mean, also the trust that you put in that fucking person at the door, you know?
Right. It's gonna have to be motherfuckers that look like us, like. You're gonna have to have like a bouncer on the door.
Oh yeah, you have a bouncer and somebody
to tempt people
because. Imagine, you know, there's no, like, even at bars, like, checking an ID at a bar.
No.
Are you checking an ID and temperature at the bar? Sure. What I mean?
Yeah. Fucking A, having to touch somebody's personal belongings to check their age so that they can drink at the bar.
Yeah.
Shit like that, man.
Yeah. All this is fucked up.
Zoom. It's pretty fucking wild.
It's very fucking.
And we're
up.
Still. And it's well, so. What's crazy to me about it is we're now. How long has it been?
6 weeks.
Six weeks. And that's such a long time, but it's still so uncertain.
So we're now hitting the spot where this Friday Governor Cooper is going to be making an announcement if we're going to be going into phase one of reopening. Phase one will be 2 to 3 weeks long. Granted, if shit gets real bad, he can go back a phase. They've already stated that. Or they can prolong it. But the thing is, man, we're right at the fucking doorstep where we're about to be doing it. Like, boys, like, it's, you know, it's around the corner, man. So yeah. I ask everybody that listens to this podcast that decides that they want to go out, please be conscientious about how you feel and be safe and be, you know, clean. Understand that, like, restaurants are going to be different for a very long time. You're going, and it's all for your safety, and it's all for the safety of people that you love going to see. Your favorite server now might have to wear a mask, but you want to be able to see him and not be fucking sick, man.
Yeah.
And also, restaurants are going to run out of food. Pump the brakes on us, man. Give us a fucking break. Like, it's nothing we can control for just a little while. Please, I know your favorite steak dish might not be there, but you can find something on some menu at a restaurant you love. I promise you guys. You've just got to hang in there with us. You know, I mean, we're really, nobody's ever done this before.
When was the Spanish flu?
I think 1908 or something like that.
Yeah, I don't think the restaurant industry was almost at $1 trillion.
I don't even think that we discovered germs until 1947. You know? Right. That's pretty accurate, I think. But
I found a quote, and I guess we could stop there with our conversation. And he goes, I think there will be a new normal, and we'll also see and understand that we aren't individual actors, but we are all connected. What happens in one place affects another. What happens in one person's body impacts another person. Pretty spot on for all this shit, and especially with a fucking restaurant.
Yeah, I think a lot of people need to hear that right now.
What you do within a confined place affects everybody around you right now. So those drunken bro hugs at a bar.
Yeah.
Back the fuck up.
Yeah, those are going to be really back the fuck up.
I'm glad I got a leap on not going to bars for a while now, though. That's, you know, I don't have to worry about trying to go out and seeing a bunch of people because I know I'd be very tempted to. But at the end of the day now, you know, it's just I'm comfortable being around you guys because honestly, I know where you fucking have been.
Yeah.
You know? Like,
yeah.
But
I've kept my distance.
But this is the most this is the most interaction I've had with like people that I don't work with.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Borderline since this whole thing happened. I mean, I saw you twice now, but we sat 6 feet apart and it was outside, for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
You know? So what a time to be alive, dude. You know?
Yeah. Say it again.
Fucking thank God we're healthy. You know, thank God everybody is. And
I don't think anybody in this room is healthy.
No, medically I'm not healthy, but
my leg.
Yeah, woof.
Yeah,
let's go there.
Well, you motherfuckers know what I mean. Y'all kiss my ass.
Yeah. If you guys have liked this episode, please go and if you're not already subscribing to us on an Apple or a Spotify or any platform like that, please do. A Zoom? Oh, we're going to talk about the Tigers now?
No, I said Zoom.
Oh, the Zoom?
Yeah, man. I bought a Zoom from you back in the day.
I think he said Zoom.
He said Zoom.
No, I said Zoom.
Okay.
The joke didn't land.
Yeah. No, I get it.
Nobody remembers what
Zoom is. Yeah, nobody competes with iPod. Just saying. Tell me another one. Zoom. What else?
Zoom. Walkman.
Walkman? Really?
Yeah. Disc boy.
Pretty sure Walkman stopped when iPod started.
No, they renamed it Runman.
No, Walkman
to make it more exciting.
Okay, whatever. Go follow us on Instagram at Bad Seed Podcast. Donate to us if you fucking are feeling frisky. Our link is in our bio on the fucking Instagram page. Just hit the support. Support us if you like it.
We appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Michael, I appreciate you coming and doing this. I
appreciate you. Yeah. Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah. I can't see your eyeballs.
Man, what?
Man, why?
Man, why?
That's not even a weird... Elliot, again, thank you.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
And, you know, stay safe, pussies.
Flat gang, baby.
Flat gang.